Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. We serve a good, good God. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to start off by reading you something, and then after a while here, I'll tell you who said this, but I want to read this. Did you ever stop to think about it? Salvation belongs to the sinner. Jesus already has bought the salvation of the worst sinner, just as He did for us. That's the reason He told us to go tell the good news. Go tell sinners they're reconciled to God. But we've never really told them that. We told them God's mad at them and is counting up everything they've done wrong. Yet the Bible says God isn't holding anything against the sinner. God says He has canceled it out. That's what's so awful. The poor sinner, not knowing this, will have to go to hell even though all his debts are paid, canceled. 2 Corinthians 5:19 will tell you that. There's no sin problem. Jesus settled that. There's just a sinner problem. Get the sinner to Jesus and that cures the problem. Yes, that's a little different from what people have been taught, but it's what the Bible says. The sinner doesn't know what belongs to him, so it won't do him any good. By the same token, if Christians don't know the things that belong to them, it won't do them any good. I want to concentrate on that tonight. The fact that, you know, we have a really easy message to take to the world. Pastor Craig this morning was talking about caring about people. People are hurting. But we have the answer. Amen? And I want to look at that tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'll turn over there. What I read you is in the first chapter of the Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. Salvation already belongs to the sinner. And I was thinking about that in reference to, you know, but when we think about that, we think about sins being forgiven and remission of sins, right? But let's go on. We were sitting here during worship, and that word salvation, I read that again, and I thought, oh, I hadn't seen it. I didn't recognize it. Forgive me, Lord. If salvation, now what does salvation mean? It means more than just sins forgiven. It means healing of your body. It means deliverance. It means to be set free and kept safe. That all belongs to the sinner. I mean, well, healing doesn't belong to the sinner. That's part of the covenant. You know, Jesus never healed a Christian when He was on earth. He only healed sinners. He never cast the devil out of a Christian. Only sinners. He never fed a Christian multitude. He only fed a sinner multitude. Why? They weren't saved yet. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. But it belonged to them based on what He was going to do and what He came to do. Praise God. So that's why we can go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why the sick get healed. That's why devils get cast out by just believers. That's what Pastor Craig was talking about this morning. But I want to look at it. Let's just look. It's a simple message. We've tried to complicate it, I think. I know I have. I don't know about you. Maybe I just preach to myself tonight. Is that all right? You can listen in. But I think we're pretty much all the same. Right? You're breathing the same air I am, right? Fighting the. I mean, you got the same devil coming against you I do. Trying to keep you out of this word. But we all have the same word of God, don't we? And we all have the same overall, the body of Christ. Go into all the world. Go ye. Why? Because people need to hear this. So I want to start in verse 14 because I just love reading it from there. I'm going to read the King James first. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I've mentioned to you that the Lord has been helping me and... Because evidently I needed help in this area. But he'll point out to me scriptures, and I'll write it in my Bible, and I wrote it here. When he said, we don't live to live unto ourselves, I read that as I'm not supposed to live to myself anymore, but for him or unto him that died for me and rose again. So I write this in my Bible. It's not about me. It's not about me. We are at the time. I think we're at an, you can say epoch or epic, whatever you want to say. We are at a time of great, great exploding together of darkness and light, exploding, fighting one another. And we are in a time that the church has to quit using our faith for ourselves and start using our faith for those stuck in that darkness. Amen. It's not about me. My eternity is secure. My needs are met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the Christian needs to know that. I'm not saying that, that we don't need to still teach that. Amen. But instead of, you know, there's just subtle things. I know again here, I know I learn things, you know, sometimes, I'm, you know, I've let things slip over the years. I know you probably have too. But in thinking about finances, start judging your finances based on believing God for what you want to give, not for what you want to get. How much do you want to give this year? How much do you want to give this week? How much would you like to tithe this week? You see, well, to do that, then you got to have so much. See, and you believe in God for that. Thinking of it from that standpoint. In Ephesians 5, Paul said, quit, those of you, he said, quit stealing, writing to Christians. Oops. Tongue-talking Christians even. He said, quit stealing. First of all, he told him, stop lying. He said, don't steal any longer, but labor working with your hands that you might have to give. Not that you might have to live, but that you might have to give. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's keep reading here. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. We'll talk about that in a couple other translations in a minute. Verse 17. Familiar. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's all of us, right? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Has reconciled us to himself. I want to look at that word reconciled here in just a minute so we know exactly what we're talking about. How many of you hear Bible words and they sound good, but you just don't know exactly, you know, you've heard it, right? You know, that's like the Bible says there are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven is an abomination. Well, you don't know what abomination means. You've probably never used that in a sentence. But if I say, you're an abomination, you're like, what did you call me? I mean, you know it's not good. You know, Jesus talked about the abomination of the desolation. You don't know what it means. It just, well, we want to know what reconciliation means. All right? But he said, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who? Every new creature. Didn't say every pastor. Didn't even say every Rhema graduate. Said every new creature has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Why? You've been reconciled. Amen. That kind of gives us a hint. Just tell others what happened for you. All right? To wit, he said, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Let me pop that up here. I love Esword, and I love these. It's got the Strongs here. But let me read you the Thayer definition, first of all, for this word that's translated reconciliation. It means to change or exchange. All right? And it carries with the idea of... How many of you have ever exchanged money? You had to go somewhere overseas and you exchanged money. That's what the word, you've reconciled your money. You've exchanged what you had for what you needed. Okay? It also means to return to favor with. And we know that has a big part of what God's talking about. To be reconciled, to receive one into favor. I like that. Now, Strong's Concordance here says this. It says to change mutually. It's talking about that, you know, I give you $100 and you give me how many ever money is available, whatever the exchange rate is. It means to compound a difference figuratively or to reconcile. It recognizes the difference and it does something about it. All right? What we were separated from God. The Old Testament says our sin has separated us from God. Yet God was in Christ, not counting that sin against us, reconciling us to himself. And he's given us that ministry of reconciliation. In other words, he's given us to take that very message of reconciliation to the sinner, to those who don't know. All right, let's read from the New Living Translation here, starting in verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. See, this is still part of this. This is why I wanted to read starting from there. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Now, see, I think maybe that's an area that we probably are struggling in, is evaluating each other and other people from a human point of view. When after all, God only looks at two groups of people on the earth, the Christian and those who aren't. Right? The new creatures and those who aren't yet, but who could be if they know they're reconciled to God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that also. You know, there's their part to play also. But that reconciliation to take place. Right? And I thought of it this way. I had the Lord say this to me. If a person is a Christian, that's your family. If they're not, that's why you're still here on earth. Because we belong to heaven. That's our home now. You know, why did we stay here after you got born again? Why didn't we just go? Could God have done that? Absolutely. He could do anything what he wants. But he left us here to fulfill our ministry of reconciliation and taking that message. All right, he goes on to say here in verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Now here it is. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Now, you know, I think the church in general has probably done more preaching on how God's mad at the sinner than they have, like Brother Hagin said, on, hey, you're reconciled to God. He's not mad at you any longer. Well, when did God quit being mad at me? When Jesus went to the cross. Amen. He goes on to say, so then we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Oh man, I love that. Let's look at the Message Bible. Ooh. Listen to this. Christ, verse 14. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. See, love's a motivator. Yeah, that's good. Love's to be our motivation. Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. A resurrection life. A far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from God, who settled the relationship between us and him, then called us to settle our relationship with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah. You ever heard anybody say that? We square? Everything square? What does that mean? Everything all right? Amen. Well, see, God, that's what God's saying. And that's the message he said. Hey, it's all square with God. Be reconciled to God. God has God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences, enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself. Now, become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Amen. Woo, glory to God. How, you say, in Christ? God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. Hallelujah. One more I want to read from the Voice translation here, starting in verse 14. You see, the controlling force in our lives is the love of the Anointed One. Our confession is this: one died for all, therefore all have died. He died for us so that we will all live, not for ourselves, but for him who died and rose from the dead. Because of all that God has done, we now have a new perspective. We used to show regard for people based on worldly standards and interests. No longer. We used to think of the Anointed One the same way. No longer. Therefore, if anyone is united with the Anointed One, that person is a new creation. The old life is gone, and see, a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from our Creator God, who has pursued us and brought us into a restored and healthy relationship with him through the Anointed. And he has given us the same mission, the mission of reconciliation, to bring others back to him. It is central to our good news that God was in the Anointed, making things right between himself and the world. So he says, instead of Christ, he says the Anointed. This means he does not hold their sins against them. Let me say that again. This means he does not hold their sins against them. Can you name me anyone whom God's holding their sin against them? Not one. Because he put that on Jesus. Jesus held our sin to himself, or God actually put it on him, that he would not have to hold it against us. All right? Now he goes on to say here, but it also means he charges us to proclaim the message that heals and restores our broken relationship with God and each other. So we are now representatives of the Anointed One, the liberating King. God has given us a charge to carry through our lives, urging all people on behalf of the Anointed to become reconciled to the Creator God. He orchestrated this. The Anointed One, who had never experienced sin, became sin for us so that in him we might embody the very righteousness of God. Praise God. Praise God. We're reconciled to God. We've been brought back into favor with God. He has totally taken the sin out of our picture. So there's no longer a sin problem in the world. Now, I understand that's what the world system is operating according to. But as far as an individual is concerned, they don't have a sin problem. They just need to get to Jesus. You see that? They need to get to Jesus. And if we look at them from that spiritual standpoint, based on nothing else, see, we want to identify people based on their sin. Well, you know, that old drunkard or that druggie. Our day, was that stoner? Is that term? Do you young people know that term? Young people, here I'm talking, you know, I'm not that old, Lord. At our high school, they actually, you know, even though nobody's old enough to actually buy cigarettes and smoke, we had a smoking tree. People went out there and smoked, didn't they? At that tree. They smoked so much, they killed that tree. It did. It's gone now. It rotted up. I mean, so much cigarette smoke on it. But does that keep people, is that something that keeps them? No. That's been forgiven, see. We want to identify people based on what they do and what we see, rather on who they are on the inside. See, because the Jews made the mistake of looking at Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. We looked at him saying, he doesn't look like the Messiah. And then Paul said, what a mistake we made. We were wrong, weren't we? Well, when I look at somebody, I can't look at them based on what they're doing. I have to look at them based on, okay, are they a Christian or are they not? Now, you do realize I'm not in the least saying that Christian, you should not look like the world, the sinner. Amen. But I'm talking about us now in this ministry of reconciliation. We should be taking this message. I mean, you know, everybody I run into is not a Christian. But you know how many years it's been since anybody asked me if I knew Jesus? It's been years. It's been years. Amen. Now, I've been privileged to, you know, take some teams across to, you know, international lines and go different places and just, you know, to watch. And we teach, you know, kind of teach from this standpoint that, look, you have the life of God in you. And you have, based on what, you have this ministry. I mean, you have a calling to do this. So when you walk up to somebody, and in sitting there, realize I saw why God has us do it the way we've done it. Really started with a group from Raymond here, took to Peru. They're trying to win, but they just start going up to people and say, you in any pain? You sick? Anybody sick around here? Anybody in any pain? Why? Because if salvation belongs to the sinner, healing belongs to him too, through what Jesus has done. And where they wouldn't listen about Jesus, they sure enough wanted help with their pain. And when they got help with their pain, they wanted to hear the message now. And I was actually helping with a ministers' conference, and so the team was out. And when we met back for supper that night, they were excited. Well, what happened? Well, they went to the market that day, and they started asking people. They said, the idea was to tell people about Jesus. We started, nobody wanted to listen to us. And so a couple of them just kind of on the fringes of the while the team was talking to people, they just started asking people in their shops, anybody in here in pain? You know, took a translator with them, asking, anybody in here? And for whatever reason, in that region of the world where we were, a lot of people had back pain. And so they just started sitting them down on the steps outside their business, sitting them down, putting their feet up, and they had different lengths, you know, and the legs were growing out and doing. Of course, that was exciting for everybody. One of them, it might even have been, I won't say the name, but I know what I'm saying. It's the first time she ever prayed for anybody. And the one leg grew up past the short leg grew past the long leg. And they said, okay, God. And they said, well, I command this leg to come out. And it came out even. So both legs ended up coming out. Evidently, that was needed because when the person stood up, their pain was completely gone. They caused such a ruckus in the market that the police showed up. And the police said, what's going on here? People were saying, well, we were here and I was in pain and they prayed for me. And so the police started going around. So are there anybody that wants to be prayed for? You're going to line up over here. They organized the healing line. You can organize a good healing line when you're wearing a gun. I mean, I'm telling you, they were... Yeah, over here. Healing over here. that way the people can still do their business they need to do. And they had over 600 people healed, testified instantly healed. And over 600 that one afternoon come to Christ. Amen. Well, we saw that. I mean, we went to the airport. Left campus at 4 a.m. for that 6. How many of you ever taken that 6 a.m. flight out of Tulsa? You know, oh Lordy, we left there, got there early, and they didn't tell us that the flight hadn't shown up the night before, so we had no airplane to get on, and our flight was canceled. They just decided not to tell us that until we sat there for four. We sat there for basically at the gate, not the gate, at the ticket counter, And so the team was there, and this lady came out from behind one. She was working, came out behind one ticket counter, and she started limping down the hall. And these two guys, they ran up to her and said, "Ma'am, are you in pain?" "Oh yes, yeah." "Could we pray for you?" She said, "Well, sure." They laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and she went off walking completely well. It started there. We had to go to. We couldn't fly out of Tulsa. The bus came and picked us up. We drove us over to Northwest Arkansas Airport. Got over there. We're trying to fly to Houston and then on, going to South America. Got over there, flight delayed again. Several people got saved and several people got filled with the Spirit over there in that airport. Amen. These guys, we're on a mission trip. We might as well just start right now. And all they're doing is what? The ministry of reconciliation. Now look what in the gospel. Look at Mark 16. We'll look at that. My intention is not to. Mark 16, just one verse, verse 15. Familiar to us, but let's look at it again. And he said unto them, You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I wonder if the gospel's the same thing as that message of reconciliation. Absolutely yes. Gospel means good news. Good news. Now see, the message of look, you no good, dirty, rotten sinner. If you don't repent, you're going to hell. That's not good news. That's not the good news. Am I right? That's not the good news. But the message of, look, God's not holding your sin against you any longer. There's really no reason for you to be separated from God any longer other than you making a decision to be reconciled to God. You see, it's a mutual reconciliation. God has done his part. But notice there's actually three parts involved here. God has done his part. We have to do our part of going and preaching the message and sharing the message of reconciliation. And the sinner has to be reconciled then to God. Luke chapter 24. This will end with this. It's not hard, folks. It's not a hard thing to do. Pastor Craig was talking about in your workplace, or wherever you are, there's people hurting. I'm telling you, you have the answer for every hurt that they have. Yes, absolutely. Can you heal them? No. Can you save them? No. But you don't have to. You just got to bring them to Jesus. He's already done the work and he'll take care of it. He's well able. Do you remember when you decided to accept Christ? When you made that decision, there was no devil in hell that could stop it. Right? And I agree. I think that's the greatest miracle that you're ever going to see is the new birth. If the devil can't stop that. But we've got to think along. We've got to be along these lines. All right. Now remember, our motivation is that we love people. It's compelling us. We love people. Not that, well, if I don't do this, then God's going to be mad at me. No. See, you're not convinced God loves you then. That's a whole nother sermon. But look here in Luke 24. Now look at this. Verse 46 and 47. Jesus here said, he talked to these that about who he was after he was resurrected, and they understood him finally. He said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Now how many of you believe that he did that? Right? Now look at verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Now notice here, he brings in the sinner's part, which is the repentance part. But repentance is not doing something bad. Repentance is making a change in your thinking. To repent in this case would be, oh, I see. I'm making a decision to accept and be reconciled to God, accept what Jesus has done and be reconciled to God. That would be repenting in that sin. You don't have to confess every sin you've ever done. You couldn't. And you don't have to. Why? Because they've already been remitted according to what God's, what the Bible says there. But that repentance, see, there is man's part. God has done his part. But that repentance and remission of sins, see, not just repentance. Repent, why? Because your sins have been remitted. Because God is not counting your trespasses, the King James says imputing your trespasses against you. He's not counting them against you. But he put them on Christ. That he who knew no sin became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in him. And who's that belong to? Everyone. Not just, it belongs to the sinner. Right? Well, that's the message. That's the good news. And that's easy to share with folks, please, people. It's easy. And I'm telling you what, yes, we need to live according to the Word of God. Yes, we need to live a holy lifestyle. Yes, we need to obey the Word of God. But when you are busy about loving people and sharing that message, you're almost going to live holy on accident because you're so ready for the next one to tell. You're not going to let anything clog you up. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to, And I'm telling you, some people say, oh, you know, when I became a Christian, I quit having fun. You're not doing it right. You get one person you talk to, just one time to reconcile themselves to God, you're going to have fun. You're going to start having fun. You won't want to stop that kind of fun. Amen. You know, I'm sure, I don't know if anybody's ever tested that, but I'm sure there's some endorphins that get released when that happens, because that's a high that you don't ever want to come off of. And if you want to stay high in God, just keep winning people to Christ. Just keep giving the message of reconciliation out. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you can do this. Tell him it's easy. It's easy. Amen. Amen. Why? You're not saving them. Yeah. You're not healing them. Yeah. You just got the message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he wouldn't have told us to go ye if he didn't equip us to go ye. Now, I'm not saying you're an evangelist now. I'm not saying you're a prophet, apostle, you know. I'm just saying you're a Christian. You're a new creature. That's all you have to be to do this. So you're qualified if you're a new creature in Christ tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all stand. Didn't we have a great week of Winter Bible Seminar and service this morning? Hallelujah. So we don't need to stay here all night. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord. Father, first of all, we thank you that we have been reconciled unto you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you have finished the work of reconciliation. And you've given us now the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you, Father. Father, grant that your servants with all boldness may speak forth that word. That signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. By stretching forth your hand to heal, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. That's a prayer we can pray for all of us. That's a prayer for all of us, Father God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we do pray that you send laborers forth into this world, but we also say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I, Lord. I'll be one of those laborers. Thank you for bringing folks across my path. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For reconciling the world unto yourself. Giving us that ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. I just keep hearing this to emphasize and remind us of this. Yes, God has done his part. But in order to have people partake of it, they have to hear. They have to hear. They have to hear. And then they have to make a decision. All right? But it's not a message of condemnation. It's not a message. It's a message of reconciliation. He didn't even say, go tell people that if they don't repent, they're going to hell. He just said, tell them they're reconciled. Tell them they're reconciled. Tell them they're reconciled. And beseech them. He said, beg them, be reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Our prayer team's here tonight, ladies on my right. Men on my left, if you're here tonight and you're not reconciled to God, please don't leave here tonight without being reconciled to God. I know we don't have any first-time folks here tonight, but you just never know. Be reconciled to God. You know, coming to church doesn't reconcile you to God. Believe it in your heart. Hallelujah. But if you need prayer for anything tonight, if it belongs to the sinner, surely it belongs to you through what Jesus has done. Isn't that right? So come on down, they'll pray with you. Are we square, like I said before? We didn't have any first-time guests. Hallelujah. One person first time over there. Connection team will find you. Praise the Lord. Glad you're here. Give him a hand clap. Amen. Thank you for being here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm wanting to send you home, but I'm getting scratched, so I'm not going to send you home yet. You know that this really doesn't have to do with this other than that part of salvation is healing. The healing power of God, that's what I keep sensing right now, is wanting to do some things for a few people, for everybody. But if you've been dealing with something right now, that belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you, quickening your mortal body right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you for it. Now activate it by thanking him for it. Just say, thank you, Father, the healing power of God's working in me right now in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, don't wait till we close. Just talk, help her. Hallelujah. Whatever she needs, just talk with her. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody been having pain and you're right, it's specific to the right side of your back, down lower towards your hip. Anybody raise your hand if that's you. Pain on your right side. Anybody over here, raise your hand if I can see it. Hold it, I can see it. The healing power of God is at work right now. I'm not going to lay hands on you. It's just working right now. Just receive it. Receive it. Why? Because the life of God is in you. And healing belongs to you. Just receive right now. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, those of you that raise your hand, I want you to do something right now. Sometimes we don't, but I want you to bend over. I want you to check it right now. It's working in me right now. It's working in me right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, just lift your voice up to the Lord. Just lift your voice up to the Lord right now. Stomach pain. Issues of just upset stomachs, what I'm talking about. You say, well, I don't have that. What about what I'm dealing with? Well, the healing power of God's there for you too, but I'm just telling you what I'm hearing in my spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 You know, I thank God for the 91st Psalm. No evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. But I've got a better covenant than the 91st Psalm. I've got a better covenant established on better promises, right? And so, the best of the old is the least of the new. And if with long life, if no plague is going to come near me in my dwelling, and I'm going to be safe from it now, I've got a better covenant. In this covenant, all I have to do is just say, in Jesus' name. It's mine in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's yours too, isn't it? Say, it's mine. It's mine. The healing power of God is mine. It's working in my body, causing me to be well, causing me to be healed. Jesus bore my pain. Jesus bore my sickness. I'm free from disease. The healing power of God is mine, and it's working in me now. Amen. Amen. Now, there I got to the place where I can say, God bless you. Have a great week. Amen. See you back on Wednesday night. Praise the Lord.